Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's look at this very carefully. First of all, in verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now let's look at the name Lord. It's Yahweh. And in the context of this psalm, the emphasis is the covenant God of grace. The emphasis is on the relationship that the Lord has established with His children. And it's a very personal relationship. It's a very intimate relationship. It's a very special relationship that each of us as believers in Christ have. And so this is very, very personal. So as we go through this psalm, think about your personal relationship on a daily basis with the Lord, because that is what's being expressed. Yahweh, one of the aspects of Yahweh is a covenant God of faithfulness and His faithfulness to us. Now look at the next line. You have searched me. You have searched me and known me. Now, this gives the indication that God doesn't know us until He searches us. But we know that God is omniscient. He knows all things. This is a human way of expressing that God knows us completely and thoroughly, which we'll see in just a moment. And so God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows everything about us. And in the following verses, 2 through 6, He's going to elaborate on just exactly how well He does know us. Actually, if you jot this down in Ephesians 1:4, basically 1, 3, and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He knew you and me before He created anything. He knew us before we knew ourselves. That's how thoroughly God knows us. Now, let's go to verse 2. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You know when I sit down and rise up. He knows every move we make. He knows the moves we make before we make them, because He has ordained them. He also knows how fast and slow we move. But He knows everything. Now let's go to the second part of this verse, where He says, you discern my thoughts from afar. The word discern there means to understand. And it means, in the understanding, it means He knows the motive behind our thoughts. He knows the motive behind what we're thinking about. And He knows the intentions we have behind those motives. Think about that one. He knows why we're here today. Are you here only because it's Mother's Day? Or are you here to worship the Lord? Now I'm meddling them. But think about it. He knows why we attend every worship service. He knows why we do not attend every worship service. He knows why we speak to some people and why we don't speak to others. He knows what we're trying to accomplish. Brothers and sisters in Christ, He knows it all. He knows everything. Now, also He says here, He knows it from afar. And we could take the phrase from afar and have the understanding that He is in heaven, way above heaven, and He is way up there in space, and we're down here in the distance, and He still knows that. But there's something more to that. He knows that in time, not just distance. In other words, He knows every thought in every minute of every day. Every time you and I have a thought, He knows it. It's not just Him on His throne. He knows when we're going to have the thought, what it's going to be, what we're trying to accomplish with it. He's that knowledgeable of us. Look at verse 3. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You search out my path and my lying down. Spurgeon says about this passage, I am shut up within the wall of thy being. I am shut up. I am enclosed in Christ. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That means Christ is living in and through me. And my will and my desire and my thoughts and my plans and all my motives are in Christ and should honor Him and Him alone. Now, there's something else that Spurgeon says about this that's most interesting to me. I hope it will be to you. There is chaff in all of our wheat, and the Lord divides them with unerring precision. Even in our lives, being separated from sin, we still, as Hunter prayed, has the vestige of sin in us. And the Holy Spirit living in you and me divides the wheat from the tares, that which is holy and that which is ungodly. The Holy Spirit cuts that out of us without disturbing that which is holy. And this is God working in you and in me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There's no such thing as a white lie. There's no such thing as a small sin, an insignificant sin. Sin is sin. And that sin is against God, and it shows rebellion in our hearts. Remember the definition of sin in the Greek, amartia, means to reject God and insert self. And every time you and I are guilty of sin, that's exactly what you and I are doing. We're saying, God, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to do what I want to do. So I'm rejecting you, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Spirit of God takes that attitude. He knows that thought and that motive, and He takes it, and by the power of His Spirit, cuts it right out. That's called conviction. How many times do you and I make a plan, and we kind of say to ourselves, and we don't broadcast this, I know I shouldn't do this, but we're all guilty. Whenever you and I have that kind of a thought, I know I shouldn't do this, I know I shouldn't think this, but there's where the sin starts, is at the but. It starts where we have made a decision to deny Christ and go on our own way. And we know it. And sometimes we say, I am not going to do that. I will not do that. And sometimes we go right on and do it. And the Lord knows it even before we did it. And then the next question is, well, God is sovereign. God is omnipotent. Why doesn't He stop me? Well, you know, brothers and sisters, you and I, and all who believe in Jesus Christ are the only ones who have a true free will. Because we have the ability to obey and to disobey God. Those who do not have Christ as Savior, they're spiritually dead. And the only thing they can do is disobey God. Because they're spiritually dead. There's not any spiritual life in them. And their whole life, word, thought, deed, desire, is in rebellion against God. But you and I have the ability, because there's spiritual life in us who have Christ as our Savior, and Jesus through His Word has told us what is right in His eyes, and He's told us what is sin in His eyes, and then He says, what? If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. So how much do we love the Lord? Do we love Him enough to know when the Spirit of God brings conviction, we go the opposite direction? And He knows that whole thought process that we're going through. And He gives you and me the opportunity to prove to Him our love for Him is real and it's serious and it's sincere. Because we would choose the way of the Lord and not the way of self. And He knows that. And so we see here that He is acquainted with all of our ways. He knows our path. Now, think about He's acquainted with all of my ways. This should cause us to be in awe of Him. And again, the problem with us today is that we don't take time to meditate. We don't take time to think on these truths. I would dare say if you and I would take 10 minutes every day to think about the Word of God, and how thoroughly God knows us, our lives would drastically change. And we would be living different lives in some ways. But we don't think about it. Because we would know how thoroughly God knows each of us. Well, let's put it on a personal level. I would know how well God knows me. And I would stand in awe of Him. Oh my goodness. And another good thing about knowing this is that we could face life with great courage. because I'm not standing here on my own doing this. God is with me. He's going to put thoughts in my head that will help me make decisions that are pleasing and honoring to Him. He is with me. So I'm not going to be afraid of God that He's going to zap me. But He has every right to when we live a life of disobedience. But I have my Heavenly Father in a very personal, intimate, deep relationship that's going to give me the power and ability to live a life that's pleasing to Him. So He's acquainted with all my ways. Now, look at the next verse, verse 4. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. Which goes back up to verse 1 and 2. You've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, You discern my thoughts from afar off. He knows it all. And we talk about the omniscience of God and the omnipresence of God. And then we go live like it's not true. But it is true. And He does know us better than we realize. Now look at verse 5. You hem me in behind and before and lay Your hand upon me. You hem me in behind and before. In other words, God's got my back. He does. He's also got my front. And He's got my sides. One commentator said, God, think about this, has folded His arms around you and pulled you close. Think about what that means. When we're fearful, scared and worried, He pulls us to Him to give comfort and encouragement and peace. Look at the next line in verse 5. And lay Thy hand upon me. It all depends on how He lays the hand upon Him, upon me. The word hand in the Hebrew is not the normal word for the hand. It's a different word, and it means the palm of the hand. And it means He places it upon me like this to guide me and to direct me. And His hand is always there. He never removes it. It's always on me. Sometimes we need reassurance of His presence with us. Sometimes you and I need reassurance, and that husband or wife comes alongside and just hugs, doesn't say anything, just hugs to remind that husband or wife, I love you and I'm here for you. And that's it. And that's all we need. And God knows when we need that. And He does it. He does it. Do we hug back? Do we hug back? Or we're so busy that we don't hug God. I gotta go here. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. Now, what we have to do is have that personal relationship with God. aware of how thoroughly He knows us. When Hunter started the prayer time this morning, the morning prayer, when he said, "Anybody going through a rough time?" Yeah. As I looked around this room, every one of us has something in our lives that's undisturbing, that's unsettling, that we can't get control of it. But God can get control of it in and through us when we pray, and when He reaches down to give us that peace and that assurance, will you and I receive it? Let Him have His hand on you and me, and let Him guide and direct that. I hope all of you who love Jesus Christ here today, I hope you know of His presence with you, His love for you, and His good hand upon you. And then He hugs. And it's so peaceful, so loving, so caring. That's what that verse means. Verse 5. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. I hope you sense that in a real way in your heart by His Spirit. And then look at verse 6. Read that verse if you will. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's overwhelming. I can't process it. That's hard to grasp and realize, but it's true. It is true. Such knowledge is wonderful. It is high. It is high is actually a military term. And it means I can't overpower it. I can't overcome God. You can't. I can't. No one can. But He can overcome you. And that's what you and I want, is for Him to overwhelm us. That He is truly sovereign. This is just not some theory, brothers and sisters. This is truth. He is sovereign. He is in control. He does have His eternal decree. And it is going to work out for your good and for mine. Now, it might not seem like it going through it. Boy, He walks us on paths that are so trying and so difficult at times. But when He does, that hand is always there. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. On Thursday mornings, men's Bible study on Thursday mornings, we're crawling through Ecclesiastes. It's one of the richest studies. That Thursday morning, Ecclesiastes, and Wednesday night on Deuteronomy, whoa, I'm telling you, it is an awesome study. But look at Ecclesiastes 5, verse 7. For when dreams increase, and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear. When dreams increase, when we begin to base our theology on what we dream, instead of on the truth of the Word of God, we're in trouble. and words increase. When we start listening to preachers who don't preach the Word of God, and people who give us advice that's not based on the Word of God, the Word increases. And what does the preacher say? It's vanity. The word vanity can mean fleeting. It's you blow and that wind's gone. And when we just depend on people's words and dreams and signs that we see, there's no substance to that. Jesus said in John 8, when you know the truth will set you free. And the truth is God's Word. Jesus prays in John 17, your Word is truth. And when we live off the Word of God and we understand life as it is explained to us from Genesis to Revelation, we're on solid ground. And we have hope that whatever you and I are facing, whatever's coming our way, we're going to be okay because God has hemmed me behind and before, and His hand He has laid upon me. You know, we talk about a sovereign God, omnipotent God, omniscient God, omnipresent God. And we rattle these what I call stained glass window words off in the church. And I don't know that we really think about them that much. And yet, every one of those words is defined here in Psalm 139, 1 through 6. And it's true for each of us in Christ. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Meditate on this lesson. It will nourish your soul. The truth of God's Word. Whatever is going on in your life and mine, these six verses will remind you and me who God is and who I am. And His hand, He has laid on you. The Lord's spoken to you by His Spirit. I hope you're listening. And I hope you will follow through. But if you're not a believer in Christ, if you're not trusting Jesus as your Savior, you don't experience this. You don't know what I'm talking about. You must come to know Jesus as your Savior now. So after this time of worship, if you're not sure that you have Jesus as your Savior, I want to talk to you. I want to show you how you can know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, how you can come to Him and trust in Him. And then you have spiritual life. And you will have the hand of God on you. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we praise Your holy and majestic name. For You are indeed the true and living God, and besides You there are no other gods. Oh Lord, thank You for what You've instructed us this morning. The truth that You've given to us, how You hem us in behind and before, and You have laid Your hand on us. Thank You for doing that. And so, Lord, as You have moved in the hearts of all of us here today, whatever decision You would have us to make, move in our hearts by Your Holy Spirit, that Your children will be spiritually strengthened and those without Christ would come to know Christ as Savior. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful to us. Shall we stand as we sing this great hymn? Remember these words out of this psalm, the first six verses. Thou hast searched me
and known me.
Thou hast hemmed me in behind and before. And you, Lord, have laid your hand upon me. Remember that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.